It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's a curse. Doing something great often comes with a heavy burden. Because when you're seen as divine, people expect miracles. Just like the actors who played Jesus on TV or film, the people who brought Superman to life have often been plagued with terrible misfortune. Henry Cavill, the latest to portray the Man of Steel on film, recently tore his left hamstring during a shooting of The Witcher and posted a graphic x-ray of his thighs and booty to the thrill of his fans on social media.
But more bafflingly is his latest cry for help when he shared a photo of his girlfriend, Natalie Viscuso, saying that people's harmful speculation about his private life just aren't true.
Great Caesar's ghost! What in pink kryptonite is he talking about?
Unlike Ben Affleck, Chris Evans, and Hugh Jackman, who seem to enjoy the speculation that they are gay or bi, Henry Cavill is taking a more regressive approach by declaring that rumors, whatever they may be, are causing harm to the people he cares about most, himself.
Today, we're taking a look at the Superman and Jesus curse, the misfortune that follows actors who bring these perfect, godlike figures to life for entertainment.
Plus, Bennifer is back after her separation from Alex Rodriguez. Jennifer Lopez surprises fans with her reunion with her ex, Ben Affleck.
On the MTV Movie and TV Awards, Unscripted mocks Ellen's Reign of Terror in the In Memoriam segment.
And cicadas are doing drugs and having wild gay sex.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Killian.
And this is Feast of Fun. I did not wake up this morning to discover our dear sexy Henry Cavill was having an emotional breakdown across social media.
Oh, what
on
happened?
Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Grindr, Scruff, everywhere, all the lands across the land.
Why is he so upset?
Henry Cavill
is it cause
was
butt?
Having, he had a bug up his butt. He had some pink kryptonite snuck into his clothing, and it's causing him to act erratically.
Why? What do you mean erratically?
So, you know, I guess pink kryptonite is a real thing. Like in the Superman universe,
yes,
there's different colors of kryptonite.
And they do whatever it is that the writers want them to do. So there's green kryptonite, blue kryptonite, black kryptonite, and pink.
But normal kryptonite, the green stuff, just makes him sick and die.
Yes.
Right? And well, then the black kryptonite makes him evil, I guess. And the red one gets him to vote Republican. And in this case, pink kryptonite makes Superman go gay. This is the actual thing that's happened in the comic books. And so, you know, Superman starts to fancy Jimmy Olsen romantically in the comic books. It actually happened.
It was in one comic book series, right?
Yeah.
You know, Jimmy Olsen is also like famous for always getting into drag to sort out mysteries, right?
I'm going to help Superman by putting on this dress and solve the mystery.
Great Caesar's ghost, Olsen. Why are you wearing that petunia of, you know, Afghan? Those aren't in season.
This is Roy Halston here, and I just wanted to say that I endorse this message.
So, you know, these celebrities, they all have personal assistants posting their status updates.
Sure.
It, you know, unless you're like somebody like a Rue Girl.
Or Cher.
But even then, like, you know, so for example, like, I imagine this is the case with Henry Cavill. Is that he's writing something, and his assistant sees that he posted it there, and their job is to post it elsewhere.
Ah, because he's too busy.
He's busy.
He's
busy going to the gym.
He's got to look in the mirror and be like, tell himself, I'm so beautiful. You're so beautiful.
We need to be nice to Henry. Or otherwise, he's going to send in the Cavill tree. Mm. I wouldn't mind being
on horseback.
On horseback without a saddle. And so he is really, really pissed off. And, you know, I was just like, I don't remember following Henry Cavill. Like,
you know what it is? I started following him on Facebook a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago, because it just kind of popped up. You know, he's cute. And, you know, Fausto likes to look at him shirtless in the movies and taunt Brian Sweeney about how Henry Cavill should always be shirtless. And so it probably popped up on my thing. And so then it popped up on yours. Or maybe I was under the Feast of Fun profile, and that's maybe where it came from. I don't know.
I don't know how Facebook decided, you know what?
It's because you're a fag. That's why it gave it to you.
Because I'm a fag. And Facebook was like, you know, you're going to want to see this. Mm-hmm. When I saw it, I woke up. There had been maybe 10 comments. Mm-hmm. Like, he had just posted it.
Right.
So
and
it's
shared
like,
it.
It's like Henry and I are cosmically linked.
Yeah, you are. You guys share something in the cosmos through the ether. You guys are there together.
And when I read this, I was just like, I never thought of Henry Cavill as gay or possibly being gay. It never crossed my mind.
Never.
I feel like other actors, you know. There's always a rumor. There's always like coded messages, things that happen. For me, I'm just like, Henry Cavill's has a beautiful body, physically attractive, great actor. He has, you know, everything at his disposal in this world right now. He has very successful entertainment career.
Right.
And that's not enough. And so he wants to become a successful fitness influencer.
Oh, on the grams, on the Instagram?
On the Instagram. And so he's been teaming up with different companies to promote their, you know, pills, products, and things.
Ooh, and I bet that drives all the other Instagram fitness influencers crazy.
So they here
you
hate
have
him.
An A-minus, A-list celebrity, who's an A-minus, A, let's say.
Let's say A. He's an A-lister.
A-lister, yeah. Getting the endorsements and stuff like that these other people are like, why that could have been mine.
It's like, you know, when RuPaul gets advertising, you know, that should be turned to Feast of Fun. we're like, what? I was like, I'm the one who introduced you to podcasting, you know, and all these fitness people who probably have worked with Henry Cavill and have, you know, helped him develop the body that he's famous mm-hmm. for are a little bit salty. And they say like, Henry Cavill is all juiced up. He's lazy. He likes to eat. They insult him by saying he likes to eat.
Because he says when he was younger, he was a thick and juicy young man.
Yeah, because honey, real women have curves. And when it comes to Henry Cavill, I like it thick. And so all these fitness guys hate Henry Cavill.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't aware of that.
So it's like the local drag queens hating the Rue girls.
Yes,
right?
Just like that.
Because they come in and sweep up all the gigs and take
exactly,
all the money.
Exactly like
okay.
that. So then, and I was like, well, maybe this is that, you know, this is him getting mad at the people. But let me read this letter that he posted to his fans in the voice of Roy Halston.
Okay.
Dear fans and followers, I wanted to make a wee community announcement. I couldn't help but notice that there has been some social animosity of late. It's becoming increasingly prevalent on my feed. He sounds like it's become what is that shoe? The
Chloe Sevigny.
It's come to my attention.
She's got a new video out.
There's been a lot of let's call speculation for now about my private life and professional partnerships. Now, while I do appreciate the passion and support of those people who are speculating, it's come to such a point that I needed to say something, which in itself is a bad thing. We are living in an age of social enlightenment. More and more, people are realizing that their views have been blinkered. That's a word, blinkered. And that they needed to expand to encompass others. So to you out there who are expressing your disdain and showing your displeasure through a surprising variety of ways, it's time to stop. I demand you stop. I know it can be fun to speculate, to gossip, and to dive into our own personal echo chambers on the internet, but your passion is misplaced, and it causes harm to the people I care about most. Me.
You added a little bit there.
It's all writers and bells
okay.
here. Even your most conservative of negative assumptions about my personal and professional life just aren't true. Let's embrace this age of social enlightenment together and move forward with positivity. I am very happy in love and in life. I'd be enormously grateful if you were happy with me. If you can't bring yourself to be happy with me, then at the very least, do yourself proud and keep your name out of my mouth.
No, keep my name out of your mouth.
Yes, and my penis out of your mouth as well, because I do not like men. I like women. Women.
The lady doth protest too much. What's
well,
going on?
And I'm like, what exactly is he talking about?
Yeah, I read it and I was super confused. I didn't know what was going on. There's a picture of this woman with him. And I'm like, what?
This is Roy Halston. My carpets are smooth and very luxurious. Mm. So I was like many of his fans, one person wrote, I don't know what you mean by that, but I agree with you.
I had to read it like a couple of times just to kind of get the gist of it. So basically he's saying, I have a girlfriend. People are mocking my girlfriend, saying all sorts of things about her and me in our relationship. Some are saying she's a beard. It's a sham that it's what people used to call.
You're putting words in his mouth.
But this is what my interpretation, of course, yeah. That it was one of the, like, you know, this. Remember the old studio system back in the days when they would pair young women with actors who were in the closet? You know, that kind of the studio system, right?
The studio system.
And guess who she works for?
Well, so Natalie, I wouldn't have thought so much that if it was speculations of him being gay, if he had posted a photo of himself at the gym or a photo of himself like he has millions of. Like if you look at his Instagram, it's
there
half
is
gym photos.
A video of him where he's doing some kind of exercise and it's taken while he's kind of like laying down and basically is from the perspective where you are fucking him.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's a nice job if you can get it.
Yeah.
And according to him, Natalie Viscuso got the work.
Mm-hmm. What a scab. Crossing the picket line.
So she is in the photo. And so that leaves us the evidence to say that this speculation is not about him stealing gigs from fitness influencers. It's not, you know, criticism of his portrayal of different characters in films. It's criticism over his relationship with this young woman who's beautiful. Natalie Viscuso. Mm-hmm. She on LinkedIn says she's the TV president. I'm sorry, the vice president of television and digital studios at Legendary Entertainment. Let's see. Legendary happens to be the company that behind Henry Cavill's movies, Man of Steel and Enola Holmes.
So is this a hashtag Me Too moment?
Me Too.
Me Too, because, you know, she's a studio executive, right?
She is says she's in love with him, and he's in love with her.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Now, Natalie's father is, you know, the detectives here. We got on the case people here. Because I was just like, oh, that's interesting.
Who
you
is
know?
This person? And why is she stealing Foster's man?
Yeah, my man is sitting across the table from me, just to be clear here. Henry is a side piece. Michael Viscuso is her father, and he's a very well-to-do television producer in California who owns many nightclubs, actually. Mm. And his daughter, Natalie, was on MTV's My Super Sweet 16 back in 2005. So everybody's like, okay, her age is 32, right? Is that right? You could do the math. Mm-hmm. So, and she's been on television before. She is somebody who is well-to-do. She doesn't need the work. So maybe this is real love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but she also has a lavish lifestyle.
Does she?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Because, you know, for her birthday, she was bought an Audi A4 Turbo. For her 16th birthday.
Oh, she's loaded.
She's loaded.
Well, you wouldn't expect, you know, for Henry Cavill to be going like, where are the poor women I can date, you know?
Well, and if you're going to be dating a wealthy, successful, educated, grounded person, you couldn't do worse than Natalie Viscuso. She seems like she's that in a box of biscuits.
So, but people are saying it's a cover though, right?
Nobody was saying it.
Oh, really?
No one was speculated yet until last week. Nobody thought Henry Cavill was gay. Now everybody's like, Henry Cavill's gay? I didn't know he was gay. Did you know he's gay?
Happens when you Google Henry Cavill gay?
Yeah. So, and people were just like, looks like Henry Cavill's kind of losing his mind, you know? So I started digging deep into his Instagram and videos and stuff. And I'm like, Henry is kind of off the rails.
You think?
Yeah. Like he posted this one video of him where he's like, it's come to my attention that people are gossiping of me. So dispel any rumors. Here is the X-ray of my butt. I had an injury while filming The Witcher. Are you guys satisfied now? I'm going back to having sex with my beautiful girlfriend, Natalie Viscuso.
Well, in that whole thing with his butt x-ray, I sent it to because, you know, they said it's a bad injury. I sent it to somebody who looks at those kinds of
our
things.
A team of scientists. Yeah.
And he said that it is a real bad tear. It probably would require some surgery. And it's retracted some a big time. That muscle may need to be like inserted back into the pelvic bone. And I said, well, how would you get this kind of thing? Because I was like, could you get it from like a deep pounding? Like somebody is fucking you really hard? Would that?
Because it's his left hamstring that's bruised and it's leaking fluid. And he's saying that it's 6 months that he cannot exercise or put any strain on his legs.
Yeah. And so my friend said that he could get it from like having his back legs up by his ears.
Yeah.
And getting really pounded. Yeah. And he also said he could have had it with his like right leg over the guy's shoulder. His the guy was slamming him. So I mean, it's all fun and speculation, you know.
Well, it is dangerous to take a dick. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
have you ever been injured during having sex?
Because I never let that happen.
No.
I mean, I've sometimes had people who are like, I want to sit on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, no, we're not doing that. Because the minute you slip, it's like, you know, you're going to crush. Because I like big men, you know. Yeah. I also like small. I like men of all kinds. Mm-hmm. But when I'm with the big guys like you,
they'll crush it.
200 pounds or more. I don't want 200 pounds of somebody's butt sitting, you know, Henry Cavill's butt crushing my dick. That's one way to die, but it's a great way to die.
I got a black eye once.
You got a black eye?
I got a black eye once. I was fooling around with my boyfriend on the couch. We were just kind of fooling around on the couch. I don't think we were really even doing very much. And then like his elbow just kind of went and hit my eye. And I was like, that feels a little weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but it just kind of kept on going because you're in the moment. And then like the next morning I wake up and I've got like a black eye. And even like 6 months later, I had a picture taken and you could still see some of the remnants of the black eye there. So it's really weird how those black eyes, they can kind of like linger for a very long time.
Eye injuries.
And people would always ask, like, what happened? How did it happen? It's like, you can't be like, I was having sex. So I was like, oh, I was moving some furniture was my lie to tell people. That kind of thing.
You know, with these kinds of issues that Henry Cavill's facing right now, I was thinking, is there such a thing called the Superman curse?
There is. It's well documented.
Because I'm familiar with the Jesus curse.
Yes. Jesus curse is people who worked as Jesus in film or television end up like, you know, really just bombing as actors. Like the guy who played Jesus Christ Superstar, he in the movie, he never really got much film work after that, but he did have a career playing Jesus for a long time and touring productions for like decades and decades. I mean, this guy played Jesus up until he was like 50, 60, 70 years old.
These are actors that have played Jesus, and stop me if you've ever recognized any names. Jim Caviezel, Robert Powell, Diego Morgado, Ted Neely from Jesus Christ Superstar, Claude Heater, Jeffrey Hunter.
Jeffrey Hunter was people would know him from The Menagerie. He filmed the pilot from Star Trek, right? And so he turned down the role of Captain Pike. And so they got Captain Kirk. And so, you know, Captain Kirk went on to have this, William Shatner went on to have this iconic career. And unfortunately, this guy, his career floundered, and then he died at a relatively young age.
Jeffrey Hunter, was playing Jesus bad for your career? Mm-hmm. Boop.
I don't think he was the same. I don't think it was the same actor. I think they used a different actor.
Yeah, I'm looking at a photo of him. That's Captain Pike, the original Captain
Pike. Yeah, but when they have him doing the boop, boop, boop
thing. Oh, really? That was somebody with a mask?
Yeah, that's got to be somebody with a mask. Cause I don't think they were going to get him back. He didn't want to do it. Now, the guy who directed Jesus Christ Superstar, he's like, is it a curse? I don't know. The thing is that most of the time they had this idea of what white Jesus looked like, right?
Yeah, white Jesus.
And so that's who they kind of went with. And his advice for people who look like that and are going to play Jesus is to, you know, learn how to go and be a good actor so you can act in something else. Like Willem Dafoe, he played Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And he actually has had a brilliant career.
He had some tough times getting work after Last Temptation of Christ.
Well, I think that there's something really kind of like polarizing, I think, about playing that Christ figure, right? Because people are like, oh, he's going to be too associated with God.
Well,
right?
I thought Christians were full of love.
Well.
And acceptance. And they would be like thrilled to seeing their Messiah portrayed for a television or movie. Why? That's so un-Christian-like behavior. So, you know, I think part of the Superman curse and the Jesus curse is that when you're doing somebody who's perfect, mm-hmm. right, Superman or Jesus, mm-hmm. and you do a good job of it, you bring this character to life, people expect you to bring miracles to happen all the time. Right?
Yeah, and I think everybody's kind of obsessed right now with the HBO Max TV show Mayor of Easton, which has Kate Winslet playing this detective, and everybody's obsessed with like the accents because it's this weird like outside of Philadelphia kind of accent, and she did something that people are really talking about and saying, this is a quote from the show, saying, "Doing something great is overrated because then people expect that from you all the time. What they don't realize is that you're just as screwed up as they are."
We're all flawed human beings, even flawed. Jesus and Superman. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you read the book, you would know. Jesus had flaws, too.
Yeah, his doubts, right?
Yeah. And Superman had many flaws, you know? Like, when they brought him back to life in the Justice League, he tried to kill half of the world, you know?
Well, he didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, I was confused.
I was dead.
I didn't know if I was gay or straight.
And then, of course, the Superman curse.
So the Superman curse goes way back, actually, to all the actors who've ever played him. Kirk Allen grew on to be, I guess he played him in 1948. He was the first actor to portray Superman and says that he was cursed by Superman. And grew to become very bitter and blamed playing that role for his career failing. And because he suffered from, you know, poverty, he says he developed illnesses, I guess. And back then, man, it's like being an actor in Hollywood was like, you did it because you didn't have anything else to do in 1948. Then there was George Reeves, who there's rumors that he may have, the police said, I guess he was shot to death, and his police ruled his passing as a suicide, but other people believe that he may have been assassinated.
Why? Do we know?
They do not know. One theory suggests that Tony's common-law husband, MGM manager Eddie Mannix, was behind Reeves' death. So there may have been, like, you know, interpersonal struggles there, and somebody just wanted to have him killed.
And of course, famously, Christopher Reeve, who played them in the 70s and 80s, was
nothing bad happened to Christopher Reeve, did he?
He fell off a horse.
He fell off of a horse.
Became a quadriplegic. Yeah, poor guy.
And Margot Kidder, who co-starred with him, also suffered a terrible car accident that left her with several severe injuries and depression. Mm-hmm. She was a darling of the tabloid press and notoriously would find herself breaking into people's homes,
hiding in bushes. Yeah, she had real mental health consequences. It was you know, heartbreaking because we adored her growing up.
Yeah, she was like a gay icon for her generation.
Well, and she dated Justin Trudeau's dad.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she could have been stepmommy.
When asked about her problems whether she was a victim of the Superman curse, she dismissed it. Mm. But then she died at the young age of 61. Mm. And, you know, Superman Returns, Brandon Routh. He didn't do so well.
Listen, he's been on the TV show The Legends of Tomorrow for years now. So it's like he's getting a paycheck.
He did not work very much after that movie came out. And
that
in
movie
fact,
was very panned. It was
Brian Singer. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the crew who developed the DVD suffered horrible misfortune. It's like a mummy's curse.
Really?
One crew member suffered an accident where they were left scarred by smashing into a glass window. Mm-hmm. Another one fell down a flight of stairs. And another one was mugged and stabbed by another crew member.
Wow.
And Brian Singer was joking that the DVD crew absorbed the curse for the rest of us.
Wow. Now, I was a huge fan of Smallville when the series started, and I watched all of it and everything like that. And it was just absolutely heartbreaking that the character of Chloe on the TV show, that the actor who played her in real life was involved in that Nexium cult and was actively recruiting starlets and people in Hollywood to like get branded and just turn their lives over to to this cult leader.
And Sullivan, yeah.
Yeah, and so I'm not sure exactly where her case stands today. I think that currently she might be like under house arrest or something like that. But yeah, there's a couple of different documentaries about that whole thing. And it's just like, it's just, you know, it's heartbreaking that somebody, you're on TV, you've got this job, you're the envy of so many people that could have, well, you know, had that role, and then you get involved in this weird cult.
Yeah, and, you know, in terms of actors who have been paid large sums of money to do roles in films, two records have been set. Marlon Brando, by playing Superman's father in the original Superman film, and Richard Pryor, mm-hmm. who played a computer genius Gus Gorman in mm-hmm. Superman 3 in 1983. Both of them got sick, very sick, within years of playing the roles. And, you know, with Marlon Brando's family having a huge crisis where his son, Christian, tragically shot his half-sister, Cheyenne's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like a soap opera, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, Richard Pryor mm-hmm. Had terrible illnesses and physical disabilities right after filming Superman mm-hmm. 3. And that
and
pretty
he had
much
so much cocaine on his penis that he
that's right.
That he made
Pam Grier's sick.
Vagina sick. And that actress who played Chloe was Allison Mack.
Allison Mack,
yeah,
thank
that
you.
Was it, yeah.
And I'm just like looking at lists here. I guess the reason all this started was because the creators, Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, sold the rights to Superman, to DC Comics, for $130.
Wow.
Subsequently, mm-hmm. they sued the comic book franchise or company for some of the money, and where it settled for a salary of $20,000 for the rest of their lives. But, you know, they struggled to survive.
What an iconic thing that they created, yeah. And that's all they got.
And so some people are saying that they cursed the Superman mm-hmm. franchise, and that's why anybody who plays Superman is cursed as well.
Yikes. They need to break that curse. How are you going to break it?
Guess who doesn't believe in the curse?
Who?
Henry Cavill.
Wow, we should.
He's been interviewed time and time again and says, do you believe the Superman curse is real? Has it affected your life? He mm-hmm. says, no.
I wonder if Natalie Viscuso believes in it.
She does not believe in, and I'm very much in love with Natalie Viscuso, and I would thank you, Mark and Fausto, for leaving my name out of, and my penis out of your mouth.
So what do you think?
I don't know what's going on, but I do know that, you know, when with the COVID pandemic, there's a lot of isolation.
Yes.
And he's, you know, success and wealth and fame, as we've seen just with Rue Girls, they lose their marbles. Mm. With, you know, these are people who are like, you know, saving coupons to eat at Chipotle. And then the next year they're bringing in, you know, six figures or more. And they're just like overwhelmed by the fame and success and financial success. And it, you know, goes to their heads. They have thousands of fans telling them their shit don't stink. Mm-hmm. And they start fighting with each other for publicity and, you know, fighting with their friends and family. And it's like, it's very disappointing to observe. But, you know, that's the Superman curse, or the curse of perfection, is that when people see you as a goddess or as a god, they expect miracles to happen. And when you can't deliver them, you have a breakdown. And I think Henry Cavill definitely feels like he's under a lot of pressure. He's, you know, part of many successful film and television franchises, and, you know, being a fitness person, being known for your body mm-hmm. can be enormously taxing.
Yeah. You're objectified, right? And so you want people, when you're objectified like that, you really want people to recognize, like, listen, I'm a human being. I have emotions. I have feelings. Please don't fetishize me like that, right?
But if you don't want people to speculate on you being gay, saying you don't like men, you like women, 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 and here's a photo of your girlfriend.
Do we have an alarm sound effect that we can play? Like the siren going off?
What do you mean? Like a you know, gay alarm?
Yeah, it's a gay alarm. Like if you're doing that kind of thing.
I don't know if he's gay or not, but he's thinking about it.
But maybe people are being like, she's not, you know, I don't know what other people are saying. I haven't followed it. Maybe they're saying hateful things towards her, being like, she doesn't deserve him. Maybe she's not pretty enough. Maybe she's not smart enough. That she's just after you for your money and your good looks and your luscious, torn rectum.
The people who follow tabloid press is, mm-hmm. are stupid Trumpers. They're garbage people, as Peaches would call them. And their idea of the perfect woman is, you know, a blonde, cruel woman who doesn't have any values and doesn't have any intellect or humor. Mm-hmm. And Natalie Viscuso, if you look, I went and looked at her stuff and I was like, you know, if I was a heterosexual, muscular, successful Hollywood guy, this would be a good girlfriend for me, you know? And I was like, I hope they're in love. I hope they're at peace. Henry Cavill needs an editor, needs some restraint, you know? Because he's kind of acting like Superman just woke up and he's like now throwing his lasers everywhere.
Must destroy the world.
And I'm just like, calm down. You know, it's insulting.
We need some kryptonite and calm his ass down.
It's harmful because, you know, he's not saying, you know, Ben Affleck.
He's not saying positive things about being gay, right? He's not being like.
He's not saying, you know, look, there is a cost for actors coming out in Hollywood. Mm. And it's wrong and it's unfortunate and it needs to stop. You know, he could say those things. He's in a position to say those things, but he doesn't. He's like, people are making fun of me because they think I'm gay and gays. There's nothing wrong with being gay, Henry. Mm. Roy Halston would tell you that.
In fact, it's fabulous.
It's marvelous. My carpets are smooth. Henry, if you want to come to my New York apartment and do some lines of cocaine with me, I'd love it. So, you know, I think it's harmful. I would like him to look to the guidance of his co-star, Ben Affleck, who is rumored for many years to be deeply in love with Matt Damon.
Aww.
And, you know, or Chris Evans, who is another peer in the, you know, superhero film franchises, who's rumored to be gay. These men look at those rumors with delight. They troll their fans, you know, like Chris Evans most famously, like, oops, someone might have seen a picture of my penis. You know, they're laughing, they're inviting that speculation, the delight in the fact that they are speaking to a wide variety of people, that they're part of mass consciousness idea of what an ideal male is. And they also understand that they're human beings and they're flawed and they embrace their flaws. And I think Henry Cavill, you know, I mean, what is the co-star who plays Aquaman?
Jason Momoa.
Talk to Jason Momoa. Jason Momoa has been in the limelight a lot longer than you have. He's been a hunk. He was in Baywatch.
I know. As a baby. You know? Baywatch babies.
And he seems to have a really good, grounded idea about his masculinity, about his sexual ambiguity. Just talk to your co-stars. And, you know, if that involves some champagne and a jacuzzi, then make it so.
Mm. Well, let's talk about Ellen.
Ellen.
Ellen's reign of terror is now
it's
over.
It's not over. She's still got another year.
She's got another year. But the MTV TV and Movie Unscripted Awards had her in they do an in memoriam section of like things that have died. And it was Ellen's reign of terror. So it's good that they, you know, can poke fun of that kind of stuff. You know, Ellen recently came out and said, hey, after 19 years, I'm going to end this program. And this has absolutely nothing to do with people saying that I have a toxic work environment. It was always my intention. But she also has come forward and said that it was very hurtful for all these people coming forward and talking about the work environment that she's provided for people.
And, you know, I think a lot of lesbian comedians are scared of the struggles that Rosie O'Donnell went through when she came out and left her talk show. Rosie said that when the press called her the queen of nice, she said that was the beginning of the end.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody is not that nice.
It's one of those that goes back to that thing. If people call you great, they expect great things from you. They expect it from you all the time. And when you're the queen of nice, you know, if you're not nice all the time, then you become a monster, especially when you're, you know, an outsider.
But who made their daily sign off? Let's be kind to one another. Instead, she should have been like, I'm a lesbian and I love to eat cunt. You know? She could have been.
But that would have turned off all the grandmas.
The grandmas aren't watching anyways.
Yeah.
But I hope this year, Ellen, because she's hilarious. She was the funniest thing on a person on Open House on Fox when she first started her television career.
The Jerry Seinfeld getting coffee with comedians in cars. It was a brilliant episode.
Yeah. And her stand-up special on Netflix, that was wonderful. Ellen has it in, has jokes and humor and comedy in the tank. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. This is your life. Be the comedian you want to be. You know, I can't believe I'm telling Ellen career advice, but she just strikes me as somebody who's just like terrified of her own shadow.
Yeah.
And
you know, the thing is though too, is when you're in that kind of position and you have that daytime talk show and you have all these grandmas who are all dying from COVID, not watching a show anymore, and you've lost a million viewers, the landscape of television is changing, podcasts are on the rise, people, even old people, are going to YouTube and finding bloggers and things like that. And when you're not having these celebrities in the studio, you know, for the past year because of the pandemic, it's going to take a toll on you, on the show. And, you know, like many things in this economy, it's going to take a hit, and her show has taken a hit. But, you know, so it's interesting, though, that she kind of says that she had always planned on leaving after 19 years, and it kind of just coincided with, you know, this pandemic and everything. But she has a lot of responsibility. There's a lot of people that rely on her for work. You know, she's got a management team that needs to be paid, lawyers that need to be paid, houses that need to be paid for, you know, productions, everything. So it's a big move, and it's going to affect a lot of people, and it's going to affect all those gay men out there who either wanted to have their own talk shows or just be a guest on Ellen.
Do you know how hard it is to be Ellen DeGeneres? I've been trying to be Ellen DeGeneres all my life. No, you know, do you know how hard it is to work with Ellen DeGeneres?
I say that just because Fausto and I, and it's a weird thing, we've met many gay men, always white gay men, who are just like, I want to have my own talk show or be a guest on Ellen, as though they equate the two things like they have an equal footing.
And just for the record, we've been on the air only 2 years less than Ellen has. She's 17.
She's 19. 18, yeah. Starting her 19th, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So
we're on our 16th. So yeah. Just, you know, 3 years after. Well, we couldn't have been around because podcasts didn't happen before then.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I think that it all, I blame Dakota Johnson.
Oh, Dakota Johnson, because Dakota invited her to something. Ellen's like,
she invited her to her birthday party. Dakota went on her show. She said, I can't believe you didn't invite me to your birthday party. And Dakota Johnson takes a big hit of her blunt. And she's like, really? Really? Sister, we're going to go there? Mm. All right. I invited you to my birthday party, only you ditched it to go to a basketball game with former president of all people, George W. Bush.
Was it basketball?
Weapons of mass destruction. Basketball game. Mm. Fuck you, Ellen, she said on her show.
Well, and Ellen's like, you know, people really hated her for hanging out with George Bush because, you know, he wasn't very gay friendly. And I mean, he did do a lot of good.
He was a very harmful president.
He was a harmful president. He did give a lot of money to AIDS. So we give credit where it's due. But, you know, could have been better in many, many facets. And so, you know, people took her to task for that. And she was just like, listen, we have to accept people from all walks of life. And we're like, there's a lot of people who watch your show who believe in you that believe George Bush is a war criminal. Would you hang out with Saddam Hussein? You know?
Well, and then people are like comparing her to Michelle Obama, the Obamas. And I'm like, they're politicians. You're not a politician. You're not running for political office. When you hang out with somebody, you're basically endorsing them. Mm-hmm. And Ellen DeGeneres, I don't know if she's naive or she's a secret Mary Cheney conservative or something like that. Mm-hmm. But,
well, you always have to remember, you know, always when you think about Ellen, always go back to her origin story, because every superhero, every super lesbian has an origin story. And do you remember what hers was?
Being thrown out of a boat to learn how to swim.
That's one of them. Yeah. But then as an adult, she was laying in an apartment in New Orleans, and as a young person, and having cockroaches crawling all over her body, and her saying, I have to get out of here and do something. And so she went on to become a comedian.
Yes. So she's like Catwoman only for cockroaches.
Yes, exactly.
So she's exactly. Cockroach woman.
Yeah, she's like Selena Kyle, but Selena Cockroach.
Oh my God.
Cock woman. Wait a second. That's transphobic.
Cockroach woman. Katy Perry came to her defense time and time again, saying, you guys be nice to her. Mm-hmm.
And also, too, like, who was it that somebody was pregnant on her show and she forced them to say that she was pregnant and then later she miscarried? And so people were like, oh my God, that's so terrible.
We
all make terrible things. We say things we shouldn't say. We think we're being funny when in fact, you know, it's hurtful and harmful to them. You know, it's a fine line when you're constantly blabbering on.
So Ellen, stop dancing. Please stop dancing.
And start living.
And start be the dangerous, angry lesbian you are. And make those jokes that you did in your Netflix special on television and rock America. If you're leaving, leave with a bang.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be a coward.
Yeah. Piss off Procter and Gamble.
You know, Procter & Gamble's going to be happy if you get people watching. And mm-hmm. the last season of Ellen, the Ellen sitcom, mm-hmm. was the best season.
Oh, when she came out of the closet?
Yeah. Then she gave no fucks, you know? Mm-hmm. Patrick Bristow was on that. He'll tell you. That was the funniest season. And I predict now that the gloves are off, her last season of her talk show is going to be the best one.
Oh, and then it'll get renewed for a 20th season. She'll be like, I was just kidding.
I am out of here. Peace. I got so much money. Mm-hmm. She's like, 15 homes or something mm-hmm. like that.
Well, and she also said the show is not challenging to her anymore. So it's like, oh, what's not, you know?
That's your problem. That's a you problem, mm-hmm. not a us problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, look to your origins, look to what inspires you. And maybe, you know, being at home and hanging. The thing about it mm-hmm. is, it's like, it's so much fun to hang out with rich celebrities mm-hmm. and eat expensive foods and wear expensive clothes and have people lavish you with attention and praise.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you're like, it's all hollow. It's a mirage. And the real nitty gritty, that's what you want to pursue.
The intimate connection that you have with other people.
And that's what drives people to do stand up is the ability, you know, that's why we do that. I was just thinking, I was like, you know, my funniest material as a comedian, as a performer is on this show here.
That's not saying much. I'm just kidding. It's saying a lot.
To me, I'm just like, you know, we hold toe to toe with the greatest people in the world, you know? Like, nobody ever says, you know, they walked all over Mark and Fausto. Mark and Fausto were so unprepared for that guest. Blah, blah, blah. No, you know, if the guest can't handle it, they hang up. They leave.
This interview is over. I'm waiting for somebody to say that.
It's happened plenty of times. Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah.
The publicist or them, they're like,
Pete Burns, Amanda Lepore. Yeah. Who else?
You know.
Who else with plastic surgery has hung up on us?
and, you know, so for me, it's like, I'm proud of the work that we do. And there's times when when you're queer and gay, you're not going to get sometimes love from your own community.
No.
And there are, you know, for as many people as love, and you guys, I mean, the love is felt. You guys financially support this podcast.
Thank you so much.
You go to feastoffun.com/plus. You access us on Patreon. It's, you know, it's I call it gas money sometimes, you know, but it is significant gas money that keeps the gas lights on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, the lights on.
For gaslighting.
It's for gaslighting us. And I'm grateful for that. And I think, you know, some of the best work of our lives has been on this show, and I'm very proud of that. And at the same time, I'm very proud of what Ellen has accomplished. And, you know, she should not be just because she's having a hard time emotionally, and everybody does,
mm-hmm.
she should not discount the accomplishments that she's made.
Mm.
And be your badass. If you're an angry lesbian, if you're mean, be mean. Be the queen of mean.
Bitches are some of my favorite people in the world. Because, you know, a bitch is one of those beings in total control of yourself. They're a person that's going to say it like it is. They're not going to pussyfoot around these kinds of things. They're going to talk about things, you know, in real terms.
Disney is making a Cruella de Vil origin story.
Yes.
Make Cruella de Vil shake in her boots.
So J-Lo and Ben Affleck might be getting back together. Even the publicists say that this is a renewed friendship, but it's eking towards a romance.
Yeah, put that in a file that of celebrities and relationships I was not thinking about. But people want us to weigh in on.
Yeah.
Because you and I,
I'm
like J-Lo, I have curves and Puerto Rican.
Yes.
And
so your curve is in your gut.
And you are like Ben Affleck.
Oh, how's that?
You have a dick that everybody wants to see. And Gone Girl. You remember that?
That could have been a prosthetic.
Maybe it was. Yeah, maybe it wasn't.
They have those prosthetic
We'll never know.
Or will we? And well, so, you know, people like, yeah. they, I think they liked them as a couple, and then they split up, and then, you know, she left Alex Rodriguez, and then I think they got back together, and then she started dating, and then she just went on a vacation with him, and then she posted all these, like, Instagram love stories and some quotes from some famous lesbian authors and some... you know, women who had unconventional backgrounds. Like she has a quote from Willa Cather, who was a famous lesbian who wrote like Oh Pioneers and Maya Antonia. And I'll read the quote to you.
Yeah, say it to
me. Where there is great love, there are always miracles. One might almost say that an apparition is a human vision corrected by the divine love.
Mm.
I know. And then she did another one from George Eliot, and George Eliot was in a relationship with a man who was in an open marriage, and then later on she married a younger man. What a wretched lot of old shriveled creatures we shall be by and by. Never mind, the uglier we get in the eyes of others, the lovelier we shall be to each other. That has always been my firm faith about friendship. So it's friendship going into love, or just, you know, it's a publicity stunt.
Well, you know, my favorite Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck moment was their guest appearance on South Park.
Oh, yeah. Can you sing the song?
Yeah. Don't think that just because I got a lot of money, I'll give you a lot of taco-flavored kisses, honey. Fulfill all your wishes with my taco-flavored kisses.
Two birdies, what is it? Two tostadas, a burrito.
Baby, let's make a run for the border. I got a hunger that only tacos can stop. I know exactly what I'll order. Three tacos, two tostadas, and a soda pop.
It was was it Cartman?
So yeah, the little evil boy Cartman, he drew Jennifer Lopez as a mouth puppet, like Señor Wences.
For Hispanic Heritage Day.
For Hispanic Heritage Day. And people thought that his puppet of Jennifer Lopez was better than the real thing. Mm-hmm. So much that Ben Affleck falls in love and proceeds to make love to a boy's hand dressed up as Jennifer Lopez.
So inappropriate.
Very terrible.
Very, very terrible. That's has J-Lo ever weighed in on that? Has she ever sang that song?
No.
She should sing it in a concert. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be fantastic.
But can't she laugh at herself, or would she have to pay royalties to
Jennifer Lopez?
Jennifer Lopez.
So people ask us, like, you know, you've separated and been back together, you know, what was that experience like, and what could Jennifer Lopez be experiencing right now?
Oh, well, they've been far apart for a very, very long time. You and I split for, what, about a year and a half?
A year and a half, yeah.
We've remained friends, and I feel like maybe, I don't know if she remained friends.
There was a time when you wouldn't talk to me.
Not for very long.
But I was like, please come back. I love you so much.
I know, I love
but it,
you.
But it was like, to me, it was heartbreaking. I was like, you know, because I was like, this is the man of my dreams. Oh. And we separated, and I was just like, fine, bitch, get out of here. Go rotten hell, you know? And then I was like, oh, I'm missing him so much.
Oh.
And then you moved close by to where I was living. Yeah. And I was like, well,
cheap
parent. And then you're telling me, like, oh, I'm working out at this gym. I was like, well, I guess I'll go work out at that gym too.
I know. And you used to pick me up and take me to the gym and just, you know, and that's the, I think that's what's happening to them too, is that there's just a slow, you know, return to a friendship, and then you're going to fall in love again.
What advice do you have people who are brokenhearted, who split up from their loves?
Move on.
It's not, but you did it. You moved back together. So that's not, I would say, give yourself space and time to process.
Right.
Because for every, you know, I have one relationship that I got back together with, which is you. But I have many boyfriends that I was madly, deeply in love with that those relationships didn't work out.
Mm-hmm. But you're friends with still some of them today.
I'm friends with all of them, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I cherish them. Like, actually, what I was like, I should do a podcast about all my amazing exes.
You better fucking not.
Because there's some amazing people. You guys have heard some of the people.
Yes.
Lake James Paraguay. Yes. I mean, he's an amazing lawyer. The performance artist, Tommy Posanen, who's like a celebrated dancer in Europe. He and I were like in love and like spent
for one summer,
for one romantic summer, you know, and I just wrote to him, and it's like, he's like, I'm a drag queen again. I was like, oh, brother.
You mean, oh, sister.
Yeah. Oh, sister. I mean, he's like, I'm doing classical drag now. And I was like, okay, what's that? Opera? Are you lip syncing to Donna Summer?
Drag queens who do opera.
Yeah.
All drag is valid. All drag is
Nobody
valid.
Wants to hear all drag is valid.
Well, in regards to their own drag, that's for sure.
So, you know,
it's complicated. So,
it's very complicated.
It depends on what kind of relationship you have. You have to make room there for that friendship. But it also, you have to go about your own life. You know, you have to do things that make you happy. Do the things that that fulfill you. And if those people can share into that, then that's what happens.
The actor Hamilton, who played a vampire, he and his ex-wife had a talk show together.
Oh, George Hamilton.
George Hamilton.
Yes. We covered that in one of the weirdest we had a podcast that we did like the weirdest talk shows ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was awkward.
And it was an awkward thing, but you know, and part of it is like, you and I have a very complicated, very rich, very long-term relationship, and that feeds into what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
And this show would not be where it is if it wasn't for our relationship. You know, I mean, you know, it's people who are fans of Feast of Fun, they're like, there ain't nothing else, you know?
Nothing else quite like it, that's for sure.
You've heard the rest, now come hear the best. I sound like Gene Simmons. But, you know, and there's something unique and magical. Mm-hmm. You know, this podcast arose from ashes. There was nothing out there in the world. There's nothing. We just did this out of instinct. It's not like we were like copying something. If we were copying anything, we were copying The View or Bill Maher, barf, you know? Terrible shows, you know, in hindsight, but we were
it's a little bit of a Late Night with Tom Schneider. It's a little bit Dick Cavett. It's a little bit Mike Douglas and Johnny Carson. You know, we stand on the shoulders of greats.
But we came up with a format that was like very intimate, had a lot of like personal information in here, you know, narrative. There's a bit of a reality TV show thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of podcasts at the time, they were all people just reading their blogs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for us, and this is what I tell people, it's like with your loved ones or your exes or whatever, it's if you're having some kind of relationship, do projects together, because that richness of your relationship is going to feed into that project.
It adds layers into it.
And yeah.
You want to weave your life into somebody else, so you need different threads to connect you. If your thread is just, you know, sharing kids or we're going to buy this house, we're going to redecorate it, and then we're going to live here, you know, good luck.
Hey, listen, shopping and fucking as Henry Cavill and Natalie Viscoso can go very far, especially if you're having sex with Natalie and Henry, who are both gorgeous people. But at the end of the day, you know, beauty fades and dumb is forever, as Judge Judy says. And, form a relationship on things that run deep into your soul, into your core. You know, how many times doing this podcast we've heard cicadas come in the background?
They're like in the background.
Seeking sex.
Making that noise, looking for sex. And now there's this brood X, so this massive population of cicadas are coming. And some of them are coming up out of the ground. They've caught some kind of fungus that's got like a drug effect on it. Their butts are falling off for whatever reason. And they're getting like this weird little white stub at the end of it. And so they're super horny cicadas, and they're basically just fucking everything and anything. And like the guy cicadas are totally turning gay for the other ones. They're all just like, come and have sex with me.
So they're doing it for pleasure.
Oh yeah. They're just doing it for pleasure. And they're probably like high as kites. The stuff that's in this fungus is, they say, the same kind of stuff that's in like magic mushrooms.
Ooh.
So they are high, flying high.
So it's like a fairy gathering.
And doctors don't think that they're like in any pain or anything like that. But, you know, I don't think that they can actually mate if their butts fall off, right? Or I don't know how that works for bugs.
This is Roy Halston.
But in other butt news, they're looking, scientists in Japan are looking at, you know, for a different way, they were looking at how to get oxygen into the human body. Because, you know, normally we get oxygen through our lungs, but sometimes your lungs can get compromised. We've seen it with COVID and with, you know, other things. And so they were like, they tried growing like lungs and, you know, from stem cells, that kind of stuff. And then they're like, wait a second, you know, fish can kind of breathe through their cloacum or whatever, like their butthole, right?
Yeah.
And so that they did some experiments and have figured out that you can deliver oxygen to someone's rectum.
So you're queefing the breath of life.
The breath of life in there. And they discovered, so they did this with rats, and they were able to put like some gas up there, but they figured that the oxygen levels were better when they kind of scraped the rectum a little bit, or the inside of the colon, because you have a very thin layer of like epithelia or whatever kind of tissue in there. And so if you do it a little, like scrape it a little bit, you get more in there. And so they're looking at like different techniques, putting like maybe like a liquid oxygen up your butthole. So you can breathe. Oh. So we're not even going to have to use our fucking lungs anymore. We can just put like a tampon up our butt and we can go, you know, diving into the ocean.
It's like that James Cameron movie, The Abyss.
Right. Remember? Yeah.
Where they discover angels in the deeps of the ocean. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a very graphic scene where the deep water astronaut. Mm-hmm. is having to breathe through liquid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess he was breathing liquid through his butt because it takes place in the near future.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, that one particularly, he was doing it through his lungs.
That we know of.
Yes, it could have been everywhere.
This
Tickle
is
surprise.
This is Roy Halston reminding you that anus thing is possible.
And this is Mark Fillion reminding you that Feast of Fun is made possible because of people just like you. We couldn't do this podcast without your support, so I'm asking you to please sign up to become a Plus member today at feastoffun.com/plus.
I adore Feast of Fun. I listen to it every day while I'm sewing new dresses for the JCPenney line. And I find it a marvelous show, and I highly recommend it. You can also join them on Patreon, where you can listen to the show without any advertisements. I find ads to be such a chore to sit through them. Why not treat yourself for just a few dollars a month? You can listen to your favorite podcast without any ads. Go to feastoffun.com/plus or patreon.com/feastoffun. Tell them Roy Halston sent you.
Thanks, Roy.
I love you both. From beyond the grave, I'm smiling. And remember, Ryan Murphy is telling lies, Liza Minnelli lies about me. None of those things are true.
Come do some coke, Liza.
Come, Liza. Let's do some cocaine. Bye, everyone.
Bye.